You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In the NBA draft.
I know I'm ready for this moment. It's just about going out there and making the most of it.
Double O, TV coming for the trophy. See, it's courtside, I kick it by the nose, please. Everybody knows me.
Every year I watch the draft and seeing the number one guy go by, I wanted to be in that person's shoes.
Oh my goodness! Whoa, is that pretty? A human highlight reel.
Seven on the team, put the team in my back. Living out our dreams, yeah, we don't do complaints.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Aaron Rodgers had some choice words for the Green Bay Packers organization. We will play that for you soon, but we start with tonight's festivities, 8 p.m. on ABC.
I'm excited.
Your Detroit Pistons have the number one pick in the NBA draft. The consensus number one pick seems to be Cade Cunningham. Jalen Rose, at 8 p.m. on ABC, will your Pistons change their franchise by picking Cade Cunningham?
Detroit, stand up, 313, it's our turn. You just saw me and Bark Scott walk through the hallway. There's a level of enthusiasm that we got the number one.
There is.
And there's a consensus player. His name is Cade Cunningham. He has the maturity. He's clutch. He's going to be a terrific teammate and a go-to guy, a face of the franchise caliber player, David Jacoby. So, yes, I'm enthusiastic. That's why I needed a wheatgrass shot, because this is going to be a long, enthusiastic day.
He's such a great NBA prospect. He can score at all levels. He can create for teammates. He can defend. He's long. He's a prototype NBA wing. He's got a mid-range shot. He's got a three-point shot. He finishes at the rim. High free throw percentage. I love everything about Cade Cunningham. Everything about Cade Cunningham. But Mr. Rose,
what up, though?
He's not the only exciting draft.
No.
He's not the only exciting prospect.
No.
Could you see the Pistons maybe trading back and getting an Evan Mobley or a Jalen Green or a Suggs or a Kuminga? You think they will keep their number one pick and pick Cade?
It's your professional duties to keep working them phones like this. You working the phone. You hearing other teams calling you like Drew Holiday went for how many picks?
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul George went for how many picks? So you listening to see what's out there.
One thing that's great about the Pistons is when sometimes you can draft for need, and they need everybody. They need every position. They need every single position. And Cade does fit into what they do. They drafted a couple guards last year. Cade's a wing. They've got Jeremy Grant up front. I love this. I love this for the Pistons. They need something like this, because let's be honest, they've been the 8th seed a couple times, but they haven't really threatened in the playoffs for decades.
Well, here's the thing about the Pistons. There aren't many organizations in the history of the NBA that have 3 championships. I know that may not sound like a lot when you're a Laker or a Celtics fan, or when you got a chance to watch the Bulls have Michael Jordan or Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant, but then it's kind of everybody else, right? And we had a period in the time in the 80s where we went to the Eastern Conference Finals 5 times in a row. We won 2 championships with the Bad Boys. Bad Boys 2, mid-2000s. Eastern Conference Finals, 6 times in a row, 1 championship.
You're just talking about old stuff now. You're just talking about old stuff now.
This is going to resurrect Detroit basketball. Killian Hayes.
Last year, on this day, I said that anybody that didn't draft LaMelo Ball would regret it. There are a couple players, like Evan Mobley, for example, from UFC. Mm-hmm. He is an athletic big. Mm-hmm. He can be a rim runner. He can be a shot blocker, rim protector. Do you think maybe down the line your Pistons will regret passing up on someone like Mobley someone like Jalen Green?
When I look in the mirror and Cade Cunningham moves to me like Jason Tatum. But when I look at this young fella right here, moves like Chris Bosh. You know,
looks like Chris Bosh.
Young in his career, right? Yep. Shot that three ball, block shots, can guard out on the perimeter.
And this is
change,
Green.
Change ends of the floor. And make plays in transition. And this guy is just a freak athlete, Jalen Green.
I love Jalen Green.
Like, seriously. He's box office. Like, Houston, in my opinion, is going to take him number two. He's going to be a showstopper for them. Boom. So there's some great players, some great potential, some great picks that are going into nice draft, Jacoby. That's why I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too.
And I just
it's not just the
it.
Picks on draft night. It's also the trades. And one team that is pretty obviously looking for a big trade is the Philadelphia 76ers. And it's around Ben Simmons. And here's what your Countdown Crew co-member, Adrian Wojnarowski, had to say about that.
The Ben Simmons trade talks are really, they're going to be a storyline through this draft tomorrow night. And the Sixers have been canvassing around the league. And they are asking for a massive return for Ben Simmons. One GM described it to me as Harden-esque, similar to what Houston wanted in the talks that led to them trading Harden to Brooklyn.
I love Ben Simmons as an NBA basketball player. I'm a Ben Simmons supporter. I will accept no Ben Simmons slander. It seems like if I was another team, I would be very aggressive in trying to acquire Ben Simmons because it seems like you can buy low right now on Simmons.
Whoever gets Ben Simmons, you're going to get an all-star player, potential all-NBA performer, all-league defender.
Potential defensive player of the year.
6'10". He's going to be a triple-double threat. Soon as his area code changes, fam.
Yep.
He's going to stop passing from underneath the rim soon as he leaves Philadelphia. His confidence is going to be sky high when somebody brings him into the room and they tell him all of the great things that he has done and can do in the league. Now, for the actual report, and shout out to my brother Woj, here's the thing. There's no surprise in theory that he's going to be in play as it relates to trades, in particular around the draft. But I want to ask you a really important question. If they want a Harden-esque return.
Harden-esque?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What did Houston get for Harden again?
A bunch of picks and Victor Oladipo.
Correct. And how'd that work out?
Not good.
Okay.
Not good.
Hey, you want a player.
Yes, and the only
thing. In return.
See, this is the point, because everybody talks about Ben Simmons leaving. All right, so, like, what all-star caliber players are really in play for a trade for Simmons? Beal, maybe CJ, maybe Dame. The list is not long when you talk about a Harden-esque return.
Well, that's where it gets tricky, because you ain't putting Beal and CJ in the same category necessarily right now as Dame.
No.
But you got to give me a player in return. You ready for this? That's also under contract. See, the other thing about Victor Oladipo, he wasn't under contract.
No,
and then he went to to the Heat. They tried to roll the dice on him, and he got injured. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But Philadelphia will be getting a player in return, in my opinion, to do this deal if they're going to move Ben Simmons.
We'll see tonight if Ben Simmons does get moved. He seems to be a little unhappy with his current franchise. And Aaron Rodgers seems really unhappy with his current franchise. He spoke to the media yesterday, and here is what Aaron Rodgers had to say.
And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March, and the conversation changed. As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and for agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen.
He said, I've been here 16 years, played for 13. Can you please just have me be part of the conversation when it comes to the roster? That's all he asked for.
Well, the major thing that jumped out for me is that He said in March they threw money at the problem, but we didn't start acknowledging that until July. So that's major for me. And here's why. That tells me the entire time, as Aaron Rodgers was vacationing and we were showing him the pictures and stuff like that, he was doing what ultimately ended up happening, negotiating his way out of Green Bay and playing one final season. It wasn't about missing games. Remember, we talked about when the NFL schedule came out, would he be there for this week or be there for that week? It was not about any of that. They're going to bring back Randall Cobb. That was one of his security blankets, one of the veterans that he mentioned that they let go, that he felt like it happened unceremoniously. He mentioned my brother Charles Woodson as well, who he won a Super Bowl with. And so, again, it doesn't matter what type of relationship you're in, professionally or business. As you gain experience and you become one of the best at what you do, that provides you a level of autonomy that you hope turns into respect for your opinion and for your skills to not only produce for yourself, but also to manage the personalities around you and give input of what's actually like that you feel like is gonna drive the dynamic to bring another Super Bowl to Green Bay. And so it's better late than never for them. But I like that there's going to be a sense of urgency for everybody involved this year.
Do you know what that press conference said to me? He's gone. He's gone. They could go undefeated and win the Super Bowl. He's still not in a Packers uniform next year.
Correct.
He is gone after this season. That is what that press conference said to me.
You know what this reminds me of? Like more recent, when we seen like an elite player, an MVP level player leave their team that we thought that they had a good situation. Kevin Durant. Like, just imagine, he wouldn't play with the Splash Brothers in a 73-win team, won back-to-back finals, MVPs, and championships, and then left. Mm-hmm. That's incredible that Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, like KD, are going to be free agents at this point of their careers.
Good for them. I look forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers in a different uniform. You know who else looks forward to leaving Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers does. He mentioned it's not a vacation destination.
I need a vacation.
That's your whole fan base lives there. Your whole fan base lives there, Aaron Rodgers. He's got the Packers logo on his chest, the Packers logo on his head, but he's not going to be on the Packers next year. He is not committed to that franchise. When we come back, Jalen Rose, there's some bad news in Dallas.
Bad meaning good.
No, bad meaning bad. Dak Prescott, little shoulder injury. We'll discuss that and much more right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Coming to you live from the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Doe?
We have some bad news for Cowboys fans. Dak Prescott, fresh off an injury last season, has been in training camp just a few days, already has a shoulder problem. This isn't that serious, Jalen, but big picture, when you look at their depth chart, they don't have a lot of backup options. Like, Ben DiNucci might be out there again for the Cowboys. How concerned should Cowboys and Cowboys fans be about Dak's health?
I ain't worried about nothing.
You're not worried about nothing.
I ain't worried about nothing.
Not worried about nothing. He's been playing for like 3 days and has a shoulder problem.
Because early in his career, Jacoby, the man was extremely durable before last year's injury. And it's funny to hear you talk about them not having a good backup quarterback situation when going into next year, going into last season, it was being said that they had the best backup in the league.
They had Dalton.
Correct. And what had happened was
Red Rifle didn't really fire off that great.
Exactly. I like what you did there. So I'm not worried about it. You know what? I want to just make sure that happens for Dakota Prescott that'll make me happy.
What's that?
Have his offensive line intact. Have Ezekiel Elliott breaking tackles and not fumbling the ball. That's all I'm worried about. The receivers, I ain't worried about them on the outside. They got burners out there and playmakers.
We will see.
This is going to be an exciting year for Cowboy fans.
Absolutely. It's going to be explosive one way or the other, but it's going to be explosive. And hopefully they can win their division, which is trash. Reggie Bush. After the name, image, and likeness rules were changed in the NCAA, there was some discussion about whether or not he would get his Heisman Trophy back. Turns out, NCAA said, not going to be able to do it, Mr. Bush. Your Heisman Trophy is not your Heisman Trophy. What do you think about this development in the NCAA?
I hate leaving people out and trying to do lists really fast.
Don't do it, Jay. Don't. Just don't. Just don't do it.
As a historian of sports, as a Burnt Sugar of sports. But I'm just trying to think, like, the most electrifying running backs that play college football. You know, O.J. Simpson, Bo Jackson. Reggie Bush is in that conversation, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not overhyping this. Now,
no.
I saw that, right?
Yes.
I saw him on the sideline take the ball behind his back one time.
Yes.
Right? Did I see that? He was an incredible collegiate player and obviously balled in the league and won the Super Bowl and all of that good stuff. I'm not surprised they're not giving a Heisman.
No, me
back.
Neither. Me neither.
And you know I've been there, done that as a member of the Fab Five. And I don't now anticipate that when you watch the NCAA tournament and it's one shining moment, you ain't going to see that highlight.
No.
They act like we ain't exist.
No,
and the haters
going to
say, well, y'all didn't win the championship. Well, 98% of the people they showed didn't win the championship. You know what I'm saying? But again, it's the numbers and it's the records. Oh, that's old school Chevy right there. It's the numbers and it's the records, right? They may not restore the numbers, but they 1,000,000% as a university will restore the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing, to continue to build as a program. And so I look forward to when that day happens, when the Fab Five is standing at half court, being saluted for the things that it brought to the University of Michigan.
Oh, we need a statue. We need a statue in Ann Arbor. We need a statue in Ann Arbor. You know what? Let's just build it with your money. I'll take your money, and I'm going to build a statue. We'll just put it out there in the middle of campus.
Hey, I hate to tell you something. If you put together Sewell money and Juwan money, you know, we can affect the GDP. We can affect the GDP. You put their bread together.
Jalen. He's in Anaheim, and even when people aren't paying attention, we'll always celebrate Shohei Ohtani in this show. Show me some Shohei. He just did it again last night.
Show me.
His 37th home run of the season. 37th home run of the season. 20 home runs in his last 34 games.
Can I just salute lefties?
No.
Because it's a right-handed world. Every place you go, the pen is on the right-hand side. The desk is on the right-hand side. Lefties try to get converted into righties. You guys are the dominant beings. Look at the number one guy up there. Barry Bonds, lefty. Look at David Ortiz, lefty. Look at Shohei Ohtani, lefty. I'm trying to tell you, Ken Griffey Jr. Like, when a lefty has an amazing swing. There's nothing more beautiful in nothing. You can fight me all you want on this. I remember Ichiro, his swing was so compact, right? But he was more of a slap hitter, like a Tony Gwynn. This guy's
slapping 400 yards, dog. 400 feet.
And throwing 100 miles an hour.
I love Shohei. Jalen, it is time.
Incredible.
For Soft Mover Bossman.
I can't believe him.
Kanye West had a listening party at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta where he played his new album, Donda. He's finishing the album while renting a room at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Jalen Rose, Soft Mover, Boss Move, renting a room at a stadium, living in the stadium while finishing your album.
Boss Move.
Soft Move.
Boss Move.
Mm-mm.
When artists start getting into their album mode, they do eclectic things to stay locked in. So whether it's in a studio, it doesn't matter. And by the way, you know what else he's doing?
Comforter looks nice.
Marketing and Promotions 101. That's also what this is.
This is a stunt. This is a stunt. First of all, I heard it costs like a lot of money for him to do this.
$1 million a day.
That can't be true. That cannot be true. But still, get yourself a suite at the Four Seasons, my guy. Like, yo, come on. Get yourself a nice little hotel. Soak a soaking tub. A little view of the city. Relax. Enjoy yourself, Kanye West. You're rich, dog.
We just saw Drake.
You're living like me in my freshman dorm.
We just saw Drake rent out Dodger Stadium for an amazing brunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is Kanye renting out the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to get ready for Donda.
Well, we will see. We will also see what happens tonight.
And the NBA draft
is tonight at 8 p.m. And Jalen Rose has some advice for some of the draftees. One piece of advice, don't wear a red suit with pins.
That's
throwing that out there. We'll be back right after this.
That might not help.
Big night tonight, 8 p.m. ABC, ESPN. It is the NBA Draft franchise-changing evening in the NBA. Tune in, 8 p.m. on ABC. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, we all know about the big names, Mobley, Cunningham, Green, Suggs. Who are some of the mid to late round, first round sleepers that will be impactful in the league?
So he played at Virginia. He's from Durham, North Carolina. He's 6'9". His name is Trey Murphy III. In the era of positionless basketball, he's going to be able to guard multiple positions. You just seen him hanging on the rim with two hands.
Yep.
He's a terrific offensive weapon as well. 50-plus from the floor, 40-plus from three, 90-plus from the free throw line. That's my sleeper.
Mine is Chris Duarte from Oregon. He's old. He's going to be 24 when he gets drafted, which a lot of players are in their fourth or fifth year in the league at that age. But dude can shoot. He can finish with both hands, and he can just shoot from distance, which is always going to be a valuable asset in the NBA. If you look at his percentages, he hits from deep, and that is going to be great for the New York Knicks when he gets drafted and plays MSG next year. Jalen, you had a famous draft night. What advice do you have for these young men as they enter the league?
Embrace, enjoy, lead with love, and also know from now you're going to go from being a member of the family or one of the friends to a leader, a boss, and a lot of those people are going to be your staff members. So I'll leave you with a math equation because money's involved. People are going to come into your life for four reasons: to add, subtract, multiply, or divide. Enjoy draft night. We see y'all tomorrow. Choose wisely.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Anthony Rose. Okay. Came in the office today wearing the furry Kangol. So that says to me you don't have a cut. And then this morning, you called your shot. Babe Ruth at the plate, pointing at the stands. You said, wait till you see the suit for tonight. Jalen, this is not like you. You know, usually you stay low, keep firing. You want to sneak up on people. You're raising expectations.
I am raising expectations. And that's a lot for me because since 1994, at some point on your social media or on your television, you're going to see me get drafted.
Yep.
Whether you hate it or love it. That was how we were doing it in the mid-90s. The oversized suits, the shoulder pads.
I just love the genies in it. You know what I mean? I love Jeannie Rose so much.
No question.
Last time I saw her, she said I was her son.
That's love.
That was the best. And I love the fact that she every time you see you get drafted, you see your mother's embrace.
That
means
everything to me. And being so very fortunate to be the biological son of Jimmy Walker, who was the number one overall pick. And then what you just said about my mom, and then being fortunate enough to actually experience it myself, it's life-changing on and off the floor. This is my favorite day in the NBA, and
really?
It's not even close.
Really?
It is not even close.
Huh.
It's not even close.
I'll take a Finals Game 7 over
there. No. Mm-mm.
I like the game.
No, you know why? Because only two teams get to experience that, and a lot of players like a LeBron James get to experience that 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
See, imagine, it's going to be 30 different people every year that walk across the stage.
In the first round.
That right there, it has more range and it has more gravity because you go from being an amateur to a pro. You go from being a member of the family to a leader in the family, a boss, an entrepreneur. But what you can't lose sight of is why we know your name.
Yep.
It's because you're a terrific prospect and basketball player. So all of the interviews, all of the business proposals, all of the people that's going to want you to start production companies, that is for some of us, that ain't for all of us. Quickly find your niche into what is going to keep you focused on working on your game.
Get better at basketball.
Because I got a secret for y'all. 3-year lifespan, baby.
Your production company is probably not going to make $100 million.
Hey, let me tell you something. You walking across that stage, Jalen Flip, you know what? I might go buy an hourglass and take it to the freaking draft tonight. Because what people underestimate is when you walk across that stage, the hourglass is ticking. The sand. Already. 3.5 years is the lifespan of an NBA player. Only 4,000 people have ever played in the NBA. That is true. I did the math.
I'm going and taking the over. Taking the over on that.
What's your number? I would say like 4,100 human beings have played in the NBA.
Definitely taking the over. But this is a stupid argument.
No, it's not. It is not a stupid argument.
I'm going to Google it then. All right, you keep talking.
Let me tell you what doesn't make it stupid, fam. It shows you how much of a boutique of individuals that really is. That's my point to you. Mm-hmm. In an NFL draft, you got 32 picks in 7 drafts.
Oh, yeah.
7 rounds. Okay, this job security. And here's another thing for you. You know what? You just told me what I'm going to say tonight.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's what I'm here for.
I'm upset.
That's what, you're upset.
I'm upset.
Oh, a total of 4,374 players have appeared in at least one NBA game.
Talk to me. 4,300?
Mm-hmm.
Told you, dog.
I was right. I told you. It took the over.
No, dog. Don't
No, I was right.
Game.
I told you. But, you said 41. I took the over.
The whole point still stands. And you ready for this? Approximately 70% of the players you saw in the league this year, won't be in the league next year.
Take the under, but I understand your point.
No. 2 years ago, I did the same exercise. It was 80. I was being modest. See, what ends up happening is we pay attention to these guys that play 10 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
We ignore all of the people that's in and out of the league within 4 or 5.
We should do it again, like in October. Here are the players.
We've done this on this show before.
It's a wild
list.
For
this reason.
It's like the Jamal Crawfords always pop out.
For this reason.
Jamal Crawford's not getting an NBA check?
For this reason. You're like, Lance, like, he been out of the league 3 years already?
Yeah.
It happens like that. And so I'm really excited for draft night. I'm excited for the future of these players and these franchises. And every squad has optimism going into this evening.
Yes. The one thing I do like about it is everyone is feeling good about their team, good about their draft, good about even Pistons fans.
What do you mean?
Even Pistons fans have something to celebrate tonight. In Detroit, they'll be popping bottles of champagne watching Cade Cunningham walk across that stage and then get traded for like the number 7 pick.
No, not gonna be able to do it. But here's what Detroit is doing that I want you to underestimate. Building through the draft. That's what Detroit is doing.
Yep.
And let me tell you who's gonna be the key to all of this. Killian Hayes.
Yes, they need more from Killian Hayes. He got injured last year. Showed some spots.
He got the keys. I know Jeremy Grant can give me 25. He's on Team USA. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I know what Isaiah Stewart gonna give me. They call him Beef Stew in the D. You know, we like them guys like Rick Mahorn or Ben Wallace. He's gonna throw them elbows
Beef
around.
Beef Stew is a great nickname.
We love that.
That's a great nickname.
We love that.
I also
that.
Love beef.
It's hearty.
Some potatoes and carrots in there.
You know how
there.
Cold it get in
yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah,
you
your
know what
stomach
I'm saying?
Feels really
no
good.
No doubt.
I want the beef to be really tender. Yes. I want to be able to pull it apart.
Yes. I'm such a Pistons fan. I was going to the game and ate some beef stew before the game.
Yes.
That's how, with some white rice.
You know what my wife does with beef stew? She puts it in the pot in the morning. It says, this is what we're eating at night. And I'm going to get so excited all day. That's all I think about.
And we also have Bay, shooter from Villanova, can play in the mid-range, defensive toughness and competitiveness. And so I like our young guys. Killian is the key, though, because Bay and Stewart went later in the first round, yet they made all
mm-hmm.
rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Killian Hayes went 7 and didn't. And he was injured. And one of my favorite Piston plays, I actually did a play like this before. He did like a quarter court bounce pass. And I started to see his confidence come back after that. Started being more aggressive offensively, looking to take his 3-point shot. He's going to be the key. Dwayne Casey's already proven to be a really good coach. So I anticipate adding Cade to this group, Jacoby. The Pistons are going to take the leap that the Charlotte Hornets took.
Oh,
they
really?
Drafted P.J. Washington, right? They drafted the Bridges over, Miles Bridges. And so I believe it's going to sort of similar be like that for Detroit. Jaylen. Except Jeremy Grant is more productive than Gordon Hayward or Scary Terry.
Gordon Hayward's playing well till he got hurt.
Yeah, he was balling. Well, he had a 40 ball.
Do you think there could be a world in which
you wish you had
Evan Mobley?
Yes.
There could be. I can see that happening.
Yes.
And Mobley's got a very high ceiling.
Yes.
A very high ceiling.
I'm not like with stuff like this. I don't go Monday morning quarterback. Like, I can't front. When we took Killian Hayes, you know who I wanted us to take.
I didn't like that.
You know who I wanted us to take. Halliburton.
Halliburton. Should have been Halliburton. Anybody who's watching the draft was like, oh, Pistons got Halliburton. Look at this.
And I know that he plays.
I think I texted you right after the game.
Yeah. You play behind Fox, and then you get hurt. So it's like, I know people probably looking at me crazy now by saying, like, well, you know, they both were in their rookie year, but that was just my thought and my opinion. In this case, Cade's undisputed number one. Mm-hmm. However, Jalen Green, he gonna go to Houston and do work.
You know why I'm mad at Jalen Green? You know why I'm mad at him?
Why's that?
You should be mad at Jalen Green.
Because he got the @Jalen handle on IG?
Yeah, duh.
He joined it before me.
I know, but how old was he when he joined? Like 13?
I decided not to join.
Duh.
Those are the years I was
like,
popping.
I feel like you need to have a conversation with him.
That was the years I was popping.
I feel like you should have a conversation with him. Just be like, what? It's going to take a jersey number. Like, what's it going
to
take?
What's your number? I wanted to talk to him.
What's your number?
Nothing. Ain't going to be no number.
No number? You wouldn't even throw $10,000 at it?
I want him to have it. Because his last name Green, and I think that's dope.
I lied. Look, he got a great name.
I can't front. Being the OG ain't necessarily always like the copacetic thing for all topics. And I feel like being the original Jalen means that I'm first and foremost. And forever rest in peace to my lovely mother, Jeannie Rose, who created the name. But you need somebody young and cool with the @Jalen handle.
Yeah, he does have a good look. I like
his
hair.
You see what I'm saying? I can't front.
Yeah.
You know?
You're old, dog. Right. Like, you posted clips from this show.
Right. You know? Right. Somebody cool.
That wears cool outfits like he does.
You know, he's fly. Just seen him on a private plane.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing.
Chicken tenders.
But this is also going to take the name into the next, this catapult the name. He got actual highlights.
Yeah, we saw yours earlier today.
He got actual highlights and bounce. So him, Evan Mobley.
I love Mobley.
7-footer that can make threes, block shot, change ends of the floor. Remind me of Chris Bosh. Yeah, you're going to want those players. But in hindsight, I think we're taking the right guy. And I think we're going to be proving that Cade Cunningham deserved to be the number one pick.
I think so, too. And I also like, you know, you always say drafted by the right team or the wrong team. I think that the Pistons are in a unique position to really grow him and feature him and sort of get the most from him. He's going to be rookie of the year. He's in a great spot.
He reminds me of, he moves like a couple of guys. Growing up, I idolized so many basketball players, in particular from my hometown. It wasn't social media then. You know, you couldn't watch games like that. And so you find a way to make sure that you embrace, go watch, play the legends that are in your hometown. So George Gervin, definitely watching him finger roll, sitting on the baseline with like 50 campers, counting them. 1, 2. And then Gerv gave me $5, let me go to get him some Gatorades. He had me go get 10 Gatorades, let me keep the change. Guy right there. You see what I'm saying? And so when I watch Cade Cunningham, he kind of moves like Gerv and Steve Smith to me.
Mm.
Gerv was a prolific scorer. Steve Smith was a playmaker, but a tall guard. They both were slender. In today's game, I guess that's kind of like a Jason Tatum. Like those, like they move alike to me. They're built alike, and they have similar athleticism too.
I don't see Cade like driving and dunking on people the way that, Tatum does. But what I do see Cade doing is driving and pulling up from 8 feet and hitting a real easy little pull-up jump shot. You know, like I like his mid-range game. I think the mid-range is the most overlooked thing ever. You saw what CP was doing in the playoffs. Just getting to the elbow.
Devin Booker.
Hitting a 15-footer. Like a 15-foot jump shot is not a tough shot.
Hold up.
Edit this out, please. Brianna, make a
test,
note.
Test. Edit. Go ahead, Jacob.
The mid-range game is coming back.
And you left out the master. Shout to DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan. And LaMarcus Aldridge, who's no longer with the league.
Chris Middleton.
Mm-hmm. All Middleton's game winners, they're all mid-range jump shots. Middleton hits the most contested shots. Like, it just really doesn't seem like he is bothered if there's someone in his face.
And one of the guests on our show, Jamal Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
He used to shoot mid-range and shoot all contested shots. I believe he's gotten fouled on more three-point shots than anybody in the history of the league. That's shooting contested shots, dog.
He also does a thing where he falls over. You know what I mean? He ends up on his butt after every three-point shot, whether he gets fouled or not.
I don't think I ever got fouled on a three.
You didn't take that many threes.
You see what I'm saying? I may have gotten fouled maybe 5 times on a three.
Yeah. All right, take everybody behind the curtain. We had a roll of Jalen Rose highlights from Michigan. After, in between segments, Jalen, what do you say?
I said, that's the greatest highlight package I've seen of myself at the University of Michigan ever.
I can tell you weren't even paying attention to what you were saying.
Me.
You were just watching the screen while you were talking.
Yeah, well, I think they made that for you because they showed me banging out, you know? And I remember those bangs over the top again. I see, I'm not Vince Carter where you can forget bangs. I remember mine. You know what I'm saying? I remember that pass over the top post game at the Hall of Fame game against Georgia Tech, two-hand bang out. I remember playing at the Palace, winning a state championship for Southwestern, then playing at the Palace for the University of Michigan against Iowa after the Pistons just won the championship there in 89 and 90, and Desmond just won the Heisman, and Michigan just won the national championship with Glenn Rice. It was our turn, dog. So when I threw it up under my arms, that meant something. That meant something.
Jalen Suggs says he's the best player in the draft because he's never played basketball year-round before. He's basically like, we're about to show you something. I've never just dedicated my athletic life to basketball and basketball only. What do you think about that?
And by the way, that unlocks your physical game and your schedule, right? But that's the difference between being an amateur and a pro.
Yep.
Whatever else they were doing, whatever hobbies, whatever interests, that's my point.
You do have to go to school. People joke that like the basketball players don't have to go to school. You still gotta like read some books and like pass some tests.
Correct.
Know what I mean?
And correct. I'm glad you went there because people just assume that you're not taking any time to ever pick up a book.
Yeah.
Never to
you still
study.
Gotta get
never
a
to
C.
go to a class.
You know
exactly.
I mean?
Like, yeah. Still, even if it's basket weaving, you gotta still take it and go.
Yeah.
And turn in a paper.
Yeah.
And there are some serious students about their academics. I was one of those. And so now when you can totally dedicate yourself on the game, you have to learn to manage your time. See, if I could have did it different, I would have spent more time in the team facility. That changed as the league started to get smarter.
Facilities got nicer too.
Correct, but it used to be a grand opening, grand closing period too. It used to be like, well, this is the window for practice. You know,
Yeah. If
I'm at McNichols Arena and I'm playing for the Nuggets, it's like, okay, everybody, the training staff going to get here at 8 and we're going to all get done and everybody be done at 12. It ain't like, oh, I got a key to the gym and I can come back anytime I want to. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the progressions that have happened in owners realizing that they need to be more integral with their players. And then you started to see an owner like Mark Cuban come in, put video games and computers in the locker, and do something simple like cater food for the team. Like, that's $300. You know what I'm saying? Like, but we looked at for the players and the opposing players, it was like that was a $1 million investment. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what has grown from the game, and that now a player like Jalen, as you mentioned, Suggs, who gets to dedicate his life solely to the game of basketball, this is where you see players take leaps now. I got one for you. Your guy, our guy, nephew, LaMelo Ball. LaMelo,
and you saw with his workout video that we played in the show, all Hornets staff at the Hornets facility, and it's July. You need like that, like what you're saying is that used to not be the case.
Correct.
It was like season starts, season's over. You can have your little trainers and work out in your little home gyms and the high schools or whatever. But now it's like the facility's open to you. And if you are an assistant coach or someone who works on the staff, you basically have to be on call.
Think about this, dog. There's legendary footage of our guy, the legend, Lawrence Bird. And if you don't like Larry, we hate you. Showing up at the arena and or for practice and or shoot around. You seen this footage. I know you freaking have. A Bird running the running the arena, right?
Mm-hmm. The garden, running up and down the stairs.
Running up and down the stairs and running the concourse, right?
Yep.
It was dark.
Didn't even turn the lights on.
It was dark, dog. Larry Bird can't have access to the
Hall
gym?
Hall of Fame. Can't get a light switch.
Just think about what I'm saying.
Like saving the energy bill?
Larry Bird wants to go to the gym and work out and improve his basketball game. And it doesn't have access to the gym.
The light switch.
You see what I'm saying?
Not like that anymore.
And so now that's why you see also these players are more skilled.
One thing that I like to see during the finals, because, you know, I watch the finals and I watch the post game and everything. And during the post game, there's always a few players on the home team that are getting shots up that didn't get in the game. Getting shots up. I would like to see that.
No question.
I would like to see that.
No doubt. I remember being one of those dudes in Phoenix. And then Robert Horry hip checked Steve Nash. And this is the funniest 20. I might have to do a 30 for 30 on this 24 hours. For real, for real.
I love this story.
Because I just knew I was going to play. You couldn't tell me nothing. I'm like, he got to play me now. He can hate my guts. Got to play me now.
Stack got suspended, right?
Yeah. Amari Stoudemire and Boris Diaw, I'll tell the story another time, got suspended. We were already only playing 7.5, so losing those two, I thought I was going to get some burn, but that's another subject for another day.
We always want to hear from you. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. Make sure you do so. We love to hear from you. Our best content always comes from you, our listeners. You're part of the family. People who watch the TV show, they're just watching ESPN. People who listen to the podcast, they're listening to Jalen and Jacoby. We appreciate you listening to this podcast right now. On behalf of Jalen and myself, I want to tell you thank you so much for making the decision, making the choice to make us part of your day. We really appreciate it. We want to hear from you. Call 985-80-JALEN. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. What do you got, Tom?
What up, though? Jalen Jacoby. This is J-Rock again from the 585. Shout out Red the Ledge. Of course, I'm trying to get like a big crown view on the executive producing team. So, of course, calling in. Y'all need the voicemail? I got you. That's how family does it. So, I got a question. Jalen, what's up? What's happening? We talked about power all the time. Now we got Power Book. Ghost with Tariq leading it off. Now we got Kanan coming. What's up? Are you excited? Are you not? We didn't hear no updates all year. We was talking Power. You watching it 2-3 times. Yeah, baby girl. She can't watch Power yet, but she excited about it soon. So talk to me. What's up? How you feeling about Power Book 2 with Kanan? Give the people what they want. Of course, my daughter and I, we are people.
Big shout to J-Rock of Rochester, 585. Jalen Rose, I'm accuse you of something. I'm accuse you of something. You ain't watching Power. You ain't watching Raising Kanan. You're not watching it. You would have said something. You would have said something.
I haven't been.
I knew it. You're just as disloyal as I am. You're a Die Easy fan just like me.
I was waiting to my freaking offseason start. And you know when it starts? Soon as I get done with the Breakfast Club at 9:46 tomorrow a.m. And soon as we're done with Jalen and Jacoby at 2:31 p.m.
2:31 p.m.
That's when my off-season starts.
No, I'm worried about you.
Fam, remember, like, this is my 19th straight year covering the NBA Finals. And I just saw two champions in 8 months. I just did two seasons in 8 months and never took a day off.
I'm worried about you.
I'm ready.
I'm worried about you.
For the offseason. And guess what I'm going to be doing?
If I see Jalen Rose trending over the next 72 hours, I'm going to be very concerned. I'm not even going to click on it.
Here's what Project Pat and David Jacoby and all of our staff better get ready to say. Hashtag offseason Jalen. Y'all about to be seeing me.
Prince Jalen coming out?
No doubt.
You remember Prince Jalen?
You know what? Kangaroo Jalen might come back.
Yes, yes,
you know
yes.
What I'm saying? That, I'm telling you. And one of the things I'm doing this offseason is binge watching Raising Kanan. And I got to tell you something, J-Rock from the 585. When I'm not speaking, right, that don't mean I ain't bubbling. So now I got to tell you something. This is the first time I've said this publicly.
Sad.
I wasn't going to even say this, except J-Rock, the producer, who's a loyal supporter of the show.
The best content always comes from the calls.
Calls me out, and that's what I like about our family. Hold us accountable. Let me tell you something, J-Rock. What I've been doing.
What you been doing?
I've been working with the people of Stars. And Curtis 50 Cent Jackson on the BMF premiere that's happening September 26th.
Wow.
So not only will it be Raising Kanan that I'm going to be affiliated with, representing to the fullest and giving you updates, I'm going to also be doing the same thing with the BMF project as well. And for those that don't know, Biggie once said it, either you sling crack rock or you got it wicked jump shot. When I got to Southwest Detroit in 1987, I had to choose quick. And you know why I had to choose? The 50 Boys. Stay tuned.
Dropping news here on Jalen and Jacoby. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the draft. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
I can't wait for that project. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.